Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
So this is the second last message in the series, Chasing After God. Next week will be the last one. And as I've said at the start of each message, if we want to see the power of God outworked in our lives and in our community, we must keep training, we must keep desiring and aiming for more. And to do this, we must chase after God with a renewed vigour and a renewed enthusiasm. And the text that I've been using throughout this series is Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. And again, as I read it yesterday and just meditated on the whole thing, it's interesting how a different line or a different set of words popped out. So let us read the scripture. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And as I was talking about preparing to come into his presence, that's week one, it was that actual little bit that just kept on sticking out to me, that we must make certain that we deal with anything that would entangle us or drag us down. And then let us run with perseverance. And last week, it was just so clear to me, it was a race that has been marked out for us, that God has a race already marked out for us. In Psalm 139, it talks about everything that we're going to do in life has already been written in a book. And God knows us inside out. And so I have my race, you have your race. It's already been marked out. And then let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. And that's the bit that really stands out to me today. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. As we talk today, let's fix our eyes on Jesus. And that was one of the things that I really sensed as we were worshiping. Just the songs were causing us to focus on Jesus. And then in Matthew 6:33, but first and most importantly, seek, aim at, strive after his kingdom, his righteousness, his way of doing and being right. The attitude and the character of God and all these things will be given unto you. You know, as we put God first, as our heart motive is towards God, as we seek after him first, then we can know beyond doubt that everything and anything that God has for us will be added unto us. We don't have to do much bar having our heart towards him, chasing after him. So in week one, we looked at what we need to do to prepare ourselves to come into the presence of our God. In short, getting a right focus. In week two, we focused on dying to self. Who's on the throne? In week three, it was imitating, inquiring of God. Who are we following? Who are we listening to? In week four, it was the ark. How do we handle the holiness of God or the glory of God? And then last week, we looked at seeing God's face. Just the whole aspect of encountering God's favour and blessing, living in that place where we just know and see God's favour and blessing around us. And so this morning, we're looking at the purpose of his presence. And I love this one. I think this is just a great thing, the purpose of his presence. I have some questions for you now. I don't want you to answer them. Well, you can if you want, but you don't have to. Sometimes when you ask questions from the platform, you know, you get this deathly silence because people don't want to get it wrong. I'm just posing some questions to you right now. Why were the people afraid to come near Moses after he'd come down from Mount Sinai? Now, in Exodus 34, it tells us the story. It says, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the covenant of law in his hands, he was not aware that his face was so radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. When Aaron and the Israelites saw Moses, Moses' face was radiant. They were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them. So Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him and he spoke to them. Afterwards, all the Israelites came near him and he gave them all the commands that the Lord had given him on the mount. When Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak, he removed the veil until he came out. When he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, they saw again that his face was radiant. Then Moses would put the veil back over his face until he went in to speak with the Lord. And so we know that people were afraid to come near Moses because he had been in God's presence. In the same way, why couldn't the priests stand to minister when they had the opening of Solomon's temple. In 2 Chronicles it says, "So the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God." Another question. What caused people to be healed when Peter's shadow hit them? In Acts 5:15 it says, "As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by." Another question. What made the hem of Jesus' cloak so special? In Luke 8:43, we read, "And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up immediately behind and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped." What was so powerful in Paul's skin? In Acts 19, verse 11, it says, "God gave Paul the power to perform unusual miracles. When handkerchiefs or aprons that merely touched his skin were placed on sick people, they were healed of their diseases and evil spirits were expelled." Another question. What made the demons cry out when Jesus came near? Once, when he was in the synagogue, a man possessed by a demon, an evil spirit, cried out, shouting, "Go away! Why are you interfering with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know that you are the Holy One of God." The way I see it, all these things happened because there was a divine radiation zone of the manifest presence of God surrounding them. So much so, it affected everybody that was around those people. So the question that we must ask ourselves when we talk about chasing after God is, why don't we see these things happening around us? Now, that's one of the questions that we've been talking about. As Serge has been taking the healing meetings on a Sunday evening, one of the incredible desires that Serge has, and one of the reasons why I've asked Serge to share with us, is that we might catch whatever it is, that we might become infectious to the point that people would get healed. Last week we talked about miracles, we talked about having miracles, we talked about desiring to see miracles. Okay, we see healings, we see legs lengthened, we see sickness going, but what about the miracles? What about Lisa's cancer? What about Neil's cancer? What about the people that we're praying for with major issues in their life right now? It's about time that we started to see some full-blown miracles. Amen? Why is it that we have family members and workmates that don't seem interested in God? Could it be that we don't have enough of the presence of God in our lives? Now, I know we have the Holy Spirit living within us. If you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit living within you. Now, how much more presence of God do you need when you've got the Holy Spirit living within you? So we know we have the presence of God in us, but how much of it is getting out of us? How much of it is impacting people around us? It's God's presence that makes everything else crumble in the comparison. For me personally, I want to be saturated with God's presence. I want everybody around me to be touched by the power of God. And I've seen it happen and I've seen it wane. And I'm being very honest with you. There's times when I feel hot, like a Geiger counter for God, and there's times when I feel cold, when things just feel a little bit dull. So we all need to push in. We all need to press in harder. Yet, in saying that, we know that it's all within us already, and it's a matter of letting God express himself through us. It's our heart towards God that's important. My desire is that we as a church, that Oxy College, that Oxy Kids, that Oxy Stadium has so much divine radiation around it that the manifest presence of God affects everyone that comes into contact with us or comes into contact with this property. Now, we know that we have Easter egg hunt coming up. We know that we've got 1,000 children already booked in. We know that we're probably going to have 3,000-4,000 adults come onto the property with those children. We're going to have a property full of people. And a lot of those people do not know God. A lot of those people do not know what we talk about. But yet they come onto this property and they sense that there's something different here. Now, of course, our grounds look magnificent. Our buildings are fantastic. We have an incredible property team that make this place shine. But it's not what the buildings look like. It's not what the property looks like. It's the spirit that's in the place. I interviewed somebody the other day for a job, and the first thing that this person said when they came onto the property, they said they just felt that it was different. As they drove over into the gate and looked down over the oval, they said it wasn't just because it was green and nice and looked so bright and orderly. It was because there was a sense of peace here. See, as Narelle said, peace is something that's not imaginary, but it's not something we can see easy. I call that a part of the presence of God. So what I'm saying to us today as we look at this aspect of chasing after God is that I think that what we need, if we're going to see people's lives impacted and changed, we need presence evangelism. Now, that's not program evangelism, that's not door knocking, that's not putting, tracks under people's windscreens. It's all those things you can do if you want to do them, but sometimes they're a turn-off. But when our lives are radiating God, when God is shining through us, when people can see a difference in the way that we talk, the way that we walk, the way that we interact, the way we handle difficulties, then I believe that that's what I would call a divine radiation zone, where we know that people are going to be impacted and touched. Moses got his divine radiation zone from spending 40 days and 40 nights in God's presence. And you can do that if you want. That'd be great. If God leads you that way, that's great. The priests could not stand to minister for the glory of God in the place of Solomon's temple because the glory of God was there. When we worship God, when we come into his house, when we worship God at home, when we sit in a train, when we read our books, whatever the case may be, when we listen to music and allow God to minister, we can start to fill ourselves up with the glory of God afresh and anew. The Bible tells us that Jesus received his divine radiation zone because he lived in his Father's presence. In Acts 4:13 it says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and then they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." When we live with somebody, when we fellowship with somebody, when we spend time with somebody, we catch that person. It wasn't Peter's shadow that healed anybody. It was the shadow of who Peter had been with. It was a shadow of who Peter had been hanging out with that created that healing zone that people wanted to be so close to. It wasn't the presence of Jesus that caused a demon-free zone when the demon cast out. So it was the presence of Jesus that caused a demon-free zone when the demons were cast out of those men and into the pigs. See, our friends and our workmates will be drawn to God when we have a divine radiation zone, when we're living a life that they can see is different to what they are experiencing, where our lives are experiencing and manifesting freedom. When we are seeing things happen in our lives, they want what it is. Acts 2:45, people like what they saw and God added to his church daily. See, we can muck around, we can be two-faced, and they're not going to catch anything bar our hypocriticalness. But if we live and walk and maintain an attitude that is godly, then they're going to catch that. We only get, I believe, a divine radiation zone because we've been in the presence of God. And I believe that for us to see the miracles, for us to see the deliverances, for us to see things happen in people's lives, we're going to need to chase after God, to be in his presence, to make certain that we are so full of him that nothing can stand around us. I don't know about you, but Chris and I often notice when we're in the shopping centre or in a place where there's lots of people, we'll find somebody staring at us, looking us down, and sometimes they get a little bit aggro at us. And we often wondered what that was because of. We were just minding our own business. Recently it happened, and we finally realised that, as the Bible says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. This person that was glaring at us and seemingly getting a bit aggro at us was reacting to the Spirit of God that was living in us. And again, I believe that as we fill ourselves with God, as we walk with God, as we allow God to become the centre of our lives, if our heart is towards God, then we're going to be emanating His presence to a point that people's lives are going to be touched. Now, of course, they can be touched for good if they want it, or it can be an aggro if they don't want it. So the big question in this chasing after God aspect is, how hungry are you? How thirsty are you for the presence of God? Everything that we've been talking about in this Chasing After God series comes into play right now. We have to prepare ourselves. We have to make certain that we're living a life worthy to come into the presence of our King. We have to make certain that death or self is off the throne, that we are dying to self, that we're making certain that we're being obedient to what God wants us to do. God might want us to start talking to people. God might want us to start reaching outside of our comfort zone. Got to take self off the throne. We've got to start looking again at just who are we imitating? Who are we inquiring of? Are we seeking God's face? Are we allowing the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us? Are we imitating ourselves on those things and those people that would express God's will and purpose? When we think about the ark, we think about how we handle God's presence, how we handle and revere God's holiness. And again, God is not going to allow us to do something that is against His word or bring damage to His name. And then, of course, we need to be looking into His face. We need to be seeing His face. We need to be seeing and looking for God's favour and His blessing. And as we see those things, then we're going to see the power of God move in a mighty way. As I've already said, the true purpose of God's presence manifesting in our lives is what I'm calling presence evangelism. And as we look around and see those balloons up on the air, we've got 10 balloons up there now. That means there was one put up on Friday evening, I think. Whatever the case is, they represent people coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know that at the school, there would be probably another 5 or 6 that will go up in next term. Let's start to see that part and parcel of the purpose of us being here is not just to have a happy club, not just to have a fantastic place where we can enjoy being family, but it is our job to make certain that we witness God to people around us and that we start praying for those that don't know Him. We have been given a mission, and that mission is to be the ministers of reconciliation. In 2 Corinthians 5:18, it says this, "And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ and given us a ministry of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ." What do your next door neighbours and the neighbours around you think of you? If they knew that you went to church, if they knew that you were a part of a Christian organisation, would they see you reflecting what they would expect a Christian should look like? We are God's ambassadors, and if we are ambassadors for Christ, then we better be demonstrating the goods that we're selling. If we want people to take God seriously, then we need to be demonstrating the product in our lives, in the way we live, in the way we talk, in the way we work, in the way we act, in the things that we do. There's a guy called Gordon MacDonald. He was an evangelist back in the 1900s, and it was says that he was conducting nightly meetings in the New Hebrides, and the police came and asked him to come to the police station. They said there's a whole lot of people there and they didn't know what was wrong with him, but they thought he might be able to help them. As Gordon MacDonald walked with the officials through the village to the police station at 4 o'clock in the morning, he said it was like a plague had come to the village. People were weeping and praying behind every haystack and every door. People were kneeling on street corners. Ladies and children in their nightgowns were huddled around each other in open doorways and they were just weeping and crying. When Gordon MacDonald finally reached the police station, he found people weeping and crying out in front of the police station. He asked them, "What's wrong?" They didn't even know about God or know it was him that was causing him to weep. They just knew that something was wrong and that they felt guilty and they needed to go to the police station to confess. What was wrong was that there was sin in their hearts and the conviction of God had come upon them. When these people began to flood the police station with their confessions and wrongdoing, the police didn't have the answer. But Gordon MacDonald stood on the steps of the police station early that morning and preached a simple gospel of repentance and salvation through Jesus, and genuine revival came to that place. And you can actually look and see what happened outside of that revival and where it went. What was happening back there? I think what happened back there was presence evangelism. The divine radiation zone of those that had been praying and those that had been speaking God's word into that community was having an impact. So let's determine to have a divine radiation zone of manifest presence of God in our midst. So much so that we start to believe that everybody and anybody that comes onto the property, whether it be parents, children at the school who don't know Jesus, whether it be the 4,500 people that come to the basketball stadium at night to use it during the week, whether it be the parents and the children that come to Oxley Kids, the people that just walk their dogs on our property, the people that drive onto our property, the bus drivers, whatever it might be, or of course the youth, the children, the chicks, the men, the seniors that come to church and come and use the activities. There are so many people that need to be impacted, and this place is a light on a hill, determined by God to be here to impact our community. I have a photo down in my office of the church property and the church building here, and behind us in that estate, not one house. I remember with the elders before that development took place, we would walk over the paddock before an elders meeting and we'd pray for every house. We'd pray for every person that was coming onto that property. You'd be surprised at how many Christians live behind us. How many people come into the school? How many people come into the church? How many people go to other churches? You know, light pours out of this place and into people around us. Our community is being impacted and changed because of what God visioned this place to be. But it's important that we do our part and that we allow the presence of God to rule and reign in our lives. And so I have a prayer. My prayer goes like this. Father, I confess that I want to see our community change for you. Give us such a heart and passion to chase after you that we might begin to see your glory flow out of us. May the faintest shadow of your presence in our lives heal the sick, restore the lame and set the captives free. Those that we meet on those streets, let them be impacted. Let your presence so saturate us that unsaved guests can't step in our homes or be around us without unrepentant hearts. May your glory bring conviction in their lives that leads to salvation. Not because of the words we say, but because of your presence and your power in our hearts. I wonder how many would join me in saying that prayer this morning. Just raise your hands. You don't have to. You just do it if you feel it. Dan, I'm wondering if you'd come up. I'd like us to sing "What a Wonderful Name." Thank you. This morning, I just believe that God wants us to, again, just saturate ourselves in Him in worship. As we sing this song, What a Wonderful Name, let's allow ourselves just to see what an incredible influence the Spirit of God has in our lives. And let's say to God, God, I want to flow with You. I want Your Spirit to flow through me. I want to be a person that carries Your presence. I want to see a divine radiation zone take place through me. Amen. Let's stand together and then we're going to say this prayer again. For those of you that raised your hand, why don't you say this after me? Father, I confess that I want to see our community change for You. Give us such a heart and passion to chase after You, that we may begin to see Your glory flow out of us. May the faintest shadow of Your presence in our lives heal the sick, restore the lame, set the captives free. Let Your presence so saturate us that unsaved guests can't step into our homes or be around us with unrepented hearts. May Your glory bring conviction in their lives, that it leads to salvation. Not because of the words we say, but because of Your presence and Your power in our lives. Amen.